Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your response to the students? I spoke with one of them. He says he doesn't even live in the city of Buffalo, but what disturbed him most is what happened during that blizzard.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that doesn't happen again? Because that's not the line.
I mean, that one is just sound, basic management. You have to have fleet management. You have to have the right number of people coming in. But that tragedy of the blizzard happened because 30% of our snowplows didn't work on the day of the blizzard. Buffalo, you know, couldn't keep up. But that's what happens when you don't replenish your fleet. You don't have a rational capital budget. You know, as I said, I represent Tonawanda and Amherst. I represented Hamburg in the past. Areas that get much more snow and got more snow during the storm. Nobody in those communities froze to death because their municipalities were able to keep up, keep the streets open, make it so first responders could go to people's houses, and so National Grid could come in and fix the outages.
Now, the other thing of your folks, go ahead.
You say that again, Which one? I've been to countless forums. You know, we were at a forum last week with the same candidates at the Jam Block Club Association. You know, we've done a lot throughout this process, but there's been dozens and dozens and dozens of community meetings, different forums, and you know, I'm out and about in the community, you know, all the time. I spend my weekends at churches. I spend every night at different community functions. I've been knocking on doors almost a full year. Started knocking on doors on November to talk to committee members about my race and try to get the Democratic endorsement. I kept it up. My calendar's full, and I'm going to keep it full until Election Day.
There is no media sponsored debate, though. Have you been inside?
No. Have we? No.
Your opponents were saying a lot about the fact that it's been Democrats across the state, across the city especially as well. What do you say to that when you're in as the Democratic nominee?
I mean, that's what you say when you're not the Democratic nominee, right? So, you know, it's sort of election year smack talk. You know this stuff is coming, but the same people who are complaining about, you know, Democrats in the city of Buffalo, they're not talking about the MAGA Republican president and the MAGA Republican Congress and Senate. That's okay, you know, with them. So this is just political, you know, advantage seeking. But one thing is for sure, you know, bring a MAGA Republican into the city of Buffalo, it would just be the worst thing for us. Those cuts coming out of Washington are crippling for the city of Buffalo. The trade war for Canada is bad for our economy. We have dozens of Ontario corporations in Buffalo, in Erie County. And those companies now, they put everything in neutral because they have no idea what's going to happen. Our Ford stamping plant sends parts right up to Oakville, Ontario, and those parts come back. They're all subjected to potential tariffs now. So, you know, the idea that somehow we bring a MAGA Republican into the city of Buffalo, it's going to make things better, kind of laughable.
This race has been getting back to basics.
That's right.
Yet, you know, taking on the toughest challenges. What is, from the people that you've talked to in the community, what has been their biggest concerns that your campaign looks to address right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, the knocking door to door for the last year, you know, people complain about the basics. They want to know why their streets are in such bad shape. They want to know why we allow decayed housing, you know, to exist, why we don't inspect more. They want to know why their streets don't get plowed anymore. Everyone remembers when we used to plow our streets. Well, that doesn't work anymore. So people talked about just the basics, But they also talked about, you know, we need more housing. You know, affordability is one of the biggest problems facing the city of Buffalo. So in order to get housing more affordable, we got to build more housing, and I have a plan for that.
You've raised the most money of the candidates. A lot of the folks that donated to you in the latest campaign funds are developers who previously donated to Chris Scanlon. James Gardner argues that you will be beholden to your contacts and your donors. How do you respond to that?
I'm proud that I've got over 1,000 different voters. I'm going to do that again. I'm proud that I have won over 1,000 different campaign contributors. That shows that you have a community support. But the other thing James Gardner has that I don't have, he was born a millionaire. So he can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to pursue races. I need to rely on community support.
A lot of your donors are not really community people, they're developers, as I said. So will you be beholden to developers to win this?
I'm going to be beholden to the people of the city of Buffalo.
Why did you return Byron Brown's donation?
I returned Byron Brown's campaign donation because we're in the middle of problems again with OTB, and it's not a good look to be accepting money on something that you're talking about governmentally at that time. That was at the time when Henry Wataszek was trying to get back on the board. I was against that. I don't want to bring OTB backwards, but also I want to separate myself, you know, from the leadership that had been leading City of Buffalo for 20 years. It's no mystery, and it's not, everyone knows that the former mayor and I have not been on the same political page for my whole career and his whole career.
We talked about developers, but what about those mods? We're seeing what's happening there, pulling back, pulling out some developers. We're concerned after the primary that you won. So what do you do about what's happening with Doug Jamal and developers?
Well, I've talked to developers. You know, look, the developers have held tremendous sway in the city of Buffalo for a very long time. None of them backed me in the primary. They wanted to go with the tried and true that would have kept that current system going. I'm going to change that system. I've met with the developers after my election. We've met several times. I told them we're going to be bringing changes into City Hall. We're going to have transparency in openness. We're not going to be doing Friday night demolitions anymore. We're not going to be doing rigged contracts. Everything is going to be open. Everyone in the city of Buffalo will have opportunity to bid on the city of Buffalo's work. That's what I believe in, and that's what I'm going to do when I become mayor.
You really slammed on bail reform for saying criminals are still not being held responsible.
A lot of people think the bail reform, it's just another MAGA Republican talking point. This is all the Republicans have been talking about since the day we passed bail reform. So, you know, he has a vision, and that vision is filling up the holding center with young black men. We're not going back that way. We're not going to criminalize poverty. But boy, do people like to take advantage of individual tragedies and try to blame it on somebody or something.
I got one for you.
Tell me, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
I'm a student newspaper.
What student? What newspaper?
Buffalo State Record.
All right, excellent.
Voter turnout is down in Buffalo. Cynicism is up. Is City Hall at all responsible in turning that around, and if so?
Yeah, I mean, look. The voter turnout around America is down. You know, people are turned off by the Rock'em Sock'em robots, you know, punching each other politics. I was happy that during this primary, we had robust debate, traveled all over the city. The voter participation went up, and we were happy for that. But that shows what happens when you really get out there and talk to people. So we hope to be able to continue to increase in people turning out to vote, because after all, that is our key right as Americans, is to vote and to participate in the process. So I would invite everybody, exercise your constitutional right, get out there and vote. Early voting starts on Saturday.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.